Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Sandy Bob Show for September 3rd, 2019. The title for today's show is If You Snooze, You Lose. Before I begin today's show, I want to remind all listeners to sing New You for 15 minutes in the morning and again before bed at night. You can then call on the Real Guides to show you what is real, and they will answer any question you may have. I want to emphasize that knowledge, faith, belief, hope, and obedience will get you nothing but endless lifetimes of reincarnation, which do nothing for you. The Real Guides will help you with your awareness of the all of life. Unless you have awareness of the all is and the real side of life beyond creation, you will always remain in creation. Today's show is a continuation of last week's show, The Things You Know That Are Not So, where we discussed the role of agreements and assumptions in life. We will have open lines for everyone to share their experiences with agreements that they have made in the past and now understand the implications and consequences of those agreements. But before we get going, I want to share some critical things you need to know. First of all, you must become aware that you are a great being of light from the real side of life and have allowed yourself to get stuck in endless cycles of reincarnation. At each reincarnation, when you are reborn into a new body, your memory has been erased by the Lords of Karma, and you have to figure out all over again why you are here and what life is about. The difficulty we have here on Earth and other similar worlds is that we are reborn into a pre-programmed existence that has been arranged to keep us here forever. Although we have total free will to end our cycles of reincarnation, we unknowingly make agreements to stay here. That is what today's show is about, to show you how you can know what is real and what isn't. All right, let me quote Dwayne the Great Writer. Sandy?
Free will is number one. As this then becomes the razor's edge for everyone, most will choose to stay unaware and fall back into more lifetimes of the same old routines of the conqueror or be conquered. The yin and yangs, the good and the bads, the causes and effects are merely the lower elementary stages all of us have to go through and are by no means related to the ultimate journey of real freedom. If a person wants to wait until they are so-called dead to find out where their life is, then that is their right to do so. But for those who have the courage to explore and listen to the real guidance, they will be shown and eventually taken to the hidden universes of real light and perfect freedom while they are still seemingly alive here.
Thank you, Sandy. As I pointed out in the last show, we are so brainwashed to stay here on Earth that we do not realize that we do not have to die. We do not have to age. We do not have to obey the controllers who think they have power over us. We, as great beings of light, can step right out into the great universes of the all is, bypassing all the gods of world religions. We have the right and power to do so. So from now on, let us make new agreements to move on with our lives and step out of these cycles of reincarnation. We have free will and the power to do so at any time. Of course, since we have completely forgotten who we are and have no idea how to go about this, We must start by singing New You for 15 minutes in the morning and again at night and watch our dream visions. The real guides are here to help us and show us the way, most often showing up in our dreams. Excuse me. But do not make the mistake of thinking that the real guides are replacement saviors, as they are not. They will not save you. You must save yourself by having the courage to work with the real guides and helping you to wake up to what is real. It is a hard thing to alter habits formed from hundreds or even thousands of lifetimes. In today's show, you should get an idea of what I am talking about so you can follow through and see how many assumptions you have made that will keep you in reincarnation. From the get-go, if you have no idea of what the all of life is and what the universes beyond creation are, you are automatically bound to stay in creation. Ignorance gets you nowhere. You must proactively seek out and explore what is out there and learn to see it. As Dwayne the Great Writer says,
there is no real truth on earth, only personal truths and references to the literalized world of educated people from invented institutions. These writings and sayings then become some sort of ultimate truth to so many. This is because the vast majority do not understand the creation they are in, and that creation is not the ultimate as it has been thought to be, such as the invented ideas and literalization of gods controlling the earth and all the people on it. Creation is a process we go through and not the true reality life is. Almost everyone has forgotten their true source, the true reality life is. The all is. Anyone can have any truth they want, but real truth is the allness. People become lost in creation and are always thinking there is a better way to resolve what is always taking place in their life and on this planet. And when they cannot, they ask the invented gods for help. But the only way to resolve anything totally is to recognize the all is. It is so that the gods of man will answer. But the situations one has will once again return in this life or the next. There is no other way out of this designed matrix than to recognize the all is. Even with the ideas of in God we trust on the fake money that is created, this world is still self-destructing. It is not a matter of figuring out what life is as much as it is to figure out what life is not. Real guidance and a real education is more so than what is found in any invented institution of literalized thought. The allness is real, and the gods of man are merely substitutes for those who do not know about their real awareness. What each person decides to refer to has been a bearing on their life overall. As long as people keep referring to their created gods, they will stay lost, as they now are with all their questions and misunderstandings for lifetimes to come. It is more than obvious what human history is based upon, and that deception from the authoritarians who promote the god stuff and the gods from the astral and mental realm. You have basically two choices. You can stay with what has been established and created and is known as sacred and traditional, or sing the new you sessions and let life show you what is real now. You can keep deciding you already know what you do, which is mainly based upon the past, or you can let Rebizar and the real guides show you what is real now. Only the real risk takers will know. Everyone else is sitting ducks for the authoritarians and the gods of man. Those who stay with the authoritarians and the gods of men are controlled by their fears, and the taplining masters of reptilian-controlled corporations. You can learn to see for yourself in your dream visions all the taplines you have in your astral body. Most people are so afraid to face themselves, but until you do, you are held here. The word God means control, as this was the idea when the reptilians created the humanoids and then created politics and religions to control them as human slaves. Their taplining words are mainly Om, Hue, as this can be easily verified by Ribazar and the Real Guides. It has been the authoritarians and the gods of man that have created all the confusion and destruction that has taken place in human history. The authorities rule with their laws, and so do the gods of man, and most people keep bowing and kneeling, worshiping and praying to them, and their lives are still the same emotional drama as has always been for untold eons. And while all of this boring human history drama has been taking place, the all is pure and real, just like the sun shining in the sky as it looks down upon the poor, miserable, and misunderstood inhabitants of all the round worlds in time and space. Yet, almost everyone keeps doing the same boring routines lifetime after lifetime and dragging all their misery and memories with them, and at the same time forgetting why they are doing so and not remembering when they created all their hardships. So, instead of each person looking to themselves and paying attention to what life is showing them now, they instead keep doing as they always have done and look to the rule-loving authorities who have invented the gods of deception to control people and to keep them dumbed down. Everything has its place in human history, and we can all learn from it, but very few can see the all is and provide the real reference that is needed to recognize and perceive the true reality life is, the allness. Sing the new sound, the new you, and watch your dream visions.
Well, thank you, Sandy. Yeah, be sure to sing the new you sound, the new you. And watch your dream visions. Well, thank you, Sandy, and thank you, Dwayne. Now I want our listeners to join in and tell us about your personal experiences that you have had that have helped you to wake up to the falseness of creation and wake up to the true reality of life. Tell us about agreements you have made in the past that would have kept you in reincarnation. I will start out by giving a couple examples of assumptions that are so subconscious that we don't even give it a second thought. My first example is when we are young and married that we should show our love to our spouse and be a responsible person by going out and buying life insurance. We think everyone is going to die sometime, so we should make sure our family is taken care of financially. This is a subconscious assumption that we have to die, and so we choose death. But in reality, we do not have to die. We can instead work with the real guides and step out of creation into the real universes of the all is. The real guides you will be working with are still alive after hundreds or thousands of years because they chose life over death. What about an accident? When you sing the new you song, you can ask the real guides for protection. Another similar assumption we make subconsciously is that we must grow older every year and eventually we will die of old age or some disease like cancer. We even go so far as to celebrate this stupid assumption by having birthday parties starting at an early age. but we have a choice to decide what our physical age is going to be. I would be happy with somewhere around 25 to 35, but anything older than that is ridiculous. We have the power as great beings of light to live any way we imagine. So get real and stop making these bad decisions. It's all about agreements we make. If you don't think you have power over your own life, allow me to share the story about a secret government experiment done in the 1990s. Someone discovered that in the state of Nevada, there was an undamaged town left over from the atomic bomb testing that was done in the 1950s. As you may know, the government built these little towns that were complete with houses, diners, post office, gas stations, cars, hardware stores, and everything that was common to a small town of the time. The houses were fully equipped with refrigerators, ovens and stoves, bedrooms, TVs, radio sets, and curtains in the windows. These were fully functional towns. During the atomic bomb test, dummies would be placed throughout the town to simulate full human activity, and the bomb would be detonated to see what would happen. In this government experiment, the project leaders wondered how powerful human assumptions and subconscious agreements really were. So they checked around for a group of 80-year-old volunteers who might be interested in moving into this small town and reliving the past of the 50s. They got enough volunteers to man the town as it would have been at the time. The results of this experiment made it classified. The controllers do not want you to be free. As it turned out, when these volunteers decided to live in the era of the 1950s, they subconsciously decided to revert back to the way they had previously lived in the 50s. They were much younger then and in good health, full of life, and with a positive outlook of the future. After 3 months of living in this town, all walking canes, walkers, and supplemental oxygen tanks were tossed away, and by the end of 6 months, the average physical age of the volunteers dropped from that of an 80-year-old to that of one in his early 50s, fit and trim. As you can see from this experiment, you too can decide to live on with your life. It is your choice what kind of life you want. Right now, I want our listeners to share their stories of assumptions and agreements they have made and what they later found out. So it's open lines. All right. Anyone want to share what they have experienced in assumptions and agreements? So please go ahead.
Hi, Bob and Sandy. Great show, great information. This is Dean Val from Huntington Beach. I was at the bank this morning, and it was to open up a nonprofit for a nonprofit, a bank account. And the teller asked me, "Well, what's this nonprofit about?" And I said jokingly, "I said, well, we're trying to save the world." And someone in the back of the line said, "Oh, I'm trying to do that too." So we got a conversation started, and it was quite interesting because we were just. There was like about 10 people in the line. Everybody's kind of duh. You know, they were just in their la-la land kind of, going to cash a check or make a deposit or whatever they're going to do, get a loan. And we were talking about neat stuff. You know, this guy was in the space, formerly employee in the space program doing R&D work, and he's working on a magnetic fuel cell for cars and cell phones that is clean and safe. And then I told him a little about what we're doing. And it just, you know, it was just great that it's like, oh, someone else is like woken up to a certain point where he doesn't agree to, you know, just what's going on. I mean, obviously this fella too has got the knowledge, at least, about what's going on in the world with the controllers. He knew a lot. So it was like we were able to connect on a certain level because we didn't agree to what was going on. And that was just very obvious. But to the people in line, it was like, what are these people talking about? You know? So that's just one example where agreement can take you out of a preset, like reality even, like a preset, like mindset or self-convinced position that you've created for yourself. And it's very, very real. And another example, well, I was in the corporation for many years, 40 years, and I was happy with that. You know, I'd agreed to it because it, apparently, to me, it was the best thing on the planet at the time, so I was okay with it. But when I heard about the new presentation, to me, it was obvious after the second time I was on one of the Skype calls. To others, maybe not, but to me, it was so obvious that this is what I was agreeing to wasn't really hitting the mark. But this guy, you know, this guy, Dwayne the Great Writer, who I was listening to on the Skype calls, I mean, what he was talking about and how he presented himself and his consciousness, his mannerism, what he was saying was so refreshing. I mean, there's just like nothing like that I ever heard. So I just made a transition. Just my agreements, it wasn't like a big deal, it was just a transition, my agreement to, okay, I agree with this because it makes sense. I no longer agree with that. Even though I was there for 40 years, you know, I was happy. I was okay with it. I wasn't necessarily that happy, but I was okay. But this is so much more real and so much more fulfilling and has a purpose to it. It's just, it's so, and it's just because my agreement, now I agree to something else. And it didn't mean I had to be violent or rebel or be, oh, I have, you know, you had me for 40 years and like you were telling me, you know, now I see through you. And it doesn't have to be that way either. It's just like an experience I went through, just like anything else. I don't have to have an attitude about it. So this new agreement I have now, I agree to, okay, what makes sense more? Like, you know, what's really going on? And I agree to what's going on. I see what's going on and I agree to that. And I agree to help to do something about it. So that's my story, Bob, Sandy.
Well, thank you, Dean Val. That was excellent. And speaking of banks, you know, what are we thinking? We go into a bank and do business with a bank that charges 21% interest rate on a credit card, but if we want to save money and put in a CD or a savings account, they only pay you 1%. What's wrong with that picture? Something doesn't make sense there, you know?
No, they've got us. They've got us. You know, they know what they're doing with that. So they're not to help people.
Thank you, Dean Val. All right. Anybody else would like to tell their story? Are you on?
Apologies. I was on mute. Yes, I would like to share an experience I had during life. I get dreams that are very vivid, and so I can recall them sometimes. One of the most interesting dreams I had so far before coming into the new presentation was the movie Groundhog Day. I can't remember the name of the star of the movie, but it's the guy who played in Ghostbusters.
It was Bill Murray, and they did it in Woodstock, Illinois, right in my hometown at the time. Right out on the square, right in front of the Opera House that was run by a good friend of mine at the time. So, yeah, I'm very familiar with Groundhog Day.
Oh, how amazing. And that movie exactly demonstrates, in my opinion, what we lose. Every time we reincarnate, our memory is erased. And in the movie, not to give it away if somebody hasn't watched it, is that this reporter kept having reoccurring experience of he'd live through a day and then he'd go to sleep and the next morning it would be exactly the same day lived over again. And so that might explain to some people how it works on this physical plane, on this planet. We get up, we have a lifetime, maybe we're in the Jurassic age, live with dinosaurs as one of the early mankind humanoids, or maybe we lived in Egypt as a pharaoh, maybe we lived in Rome as a Roman soldier. We progress through lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, but we don't get to recall what we learned the last lifetime. The only way we recall it, in my opinion, is that we have a talent to do something. And there are many stories about the great composers like Mozart and Bach and all of those guys that at an early age they could compose music. And people would wonder, how can this happen? How can this happen? Well, it's because lifetime upon lifetime upon lifetime, this little child has experienced music and fell in love with it, and so it became a part of his routine. Everybody has an opportunity, but some people are afraid of new things. It takes a while. That's why we have children. They're not afraid. They like to explore and find out and know stuff. If you watch a little one-year-old crawling on the floor and seeing everything and investigating stuff, you see how we as humans start out trying to find out answers, information. And as we incorporate this in our lives, we grow up and are better able to face life, little challenges that come along. Like Bob's original instance of when you get first fall in love and get married, they tell you to, you know, go right down and make out your will and buy life insurance. And you say, well, I'm 20, I don't need that. I'll do that later. But those who think, oh, my goodness, I have to do this, this is important, they each have a different experience that they have chosen. One time that you get to make choices is every moment of your life when you face an experience. What do you want to choose as the outcome? Some experiences are great. Getting married is wonderful. Nowadays, marriage and divorce are kind of common things. They go together hand in hand, and that's the sad part. But there are marriages that last a long time because the couple has come to share their experiences and glean more from life itself alone. Anyway, thank you.
Well, thank you, Claudie. And you're talking about making a will for your death. That's, you know, passing on your stuff to your family or whoever you want to, some your kids or some institution or something. That's another way of choosing death, isn't it? It most certainly is. I'm gonna die, and after I die, this is what I want to happen after I die, because I no longer have control. I have no control over dying, and I have no control after I die. So let's get it on paper, you know. Yep, very good, Claudia. I love that one also. Is there anyone else that would like to share something else? If something else comes to mind, please speak up and share what you have. Maybe Tim, are you on? You have anything?
Yeah, hi. Yeah, I was just thinking back about how when I was in the corporation, and I thought that was so important, how I came over across a book, the Ekvedia. It was called The Ancient Science of Prophecy that Paul Twitchell had wrote. And I was, I guess, called fascinated with what was being stated in the book about all these yugas and all kinds of stuff that I was wondering about. Is this stuff just made up stuff, or it did, a lot of it did seem to make sense to me. And about these techniques and things that were being presented to get out of the body, and I thought that would be something that I would decide to try and make happen in my life. So what Paul had wrote was that to get out of the body, to try this stuff called astral projection, that a person wouldn't be able to do it if they smoked and if they drank and if they did drugs, and which I did all of for a lot of my life. But the desire to try to experience this different life, different awareness, was so strong that it just was like a light switch in my life. It was more important to try and experience this astral projection stuff than it was to continue smoking and drinking and doing drugs. So that was an instant change. That was like almost 9 years ago. In December 21st, it'll be 9 years. Just by the words that Paul presented in one book that I came across. And so then in the corporation, I was very happy with this involvement and paying attention to all these discourses. It never seemed like I was successful in getting out of the body, which my life had changed to experience. I thought I would just all of a sudden be able to leave the body and look at the body out from another place, which I never did. But I think now it's pretty much I do it naturally in sleep. But it is amazing how life gives us these opportunities, like this new presentation. All of a sudden, the real guides are seeing when a person is ready to have the opportunity to find out for themselves if what is being presented in this new presentation is real, and to test it and find out for yourself if it's something that is important in your life.
Well, what I think is really so neat is if people will do the new you, sing it, and maybe we should give an example of how to sing it. I'll have Sandy sing New You the way she does it, and just to give you an idea what we're talking about when we say sing the new you.
Okay, that was a surprise. Okay, I'll sing it for you the way I sing it, but it can be sung anyway. You can use any musical note or tone. You can go up, you can go down, you can do it to a song, whatever you choose to do. So, new you. That's the way I do it, and you can do it, like I said, any way you want. And go ahead, Bob.
Well, thank you, Sandy. That was very beautiful. The when you sing New You and you call on the real guides, they will show you in your dream visions some of the assumptions and agreements that you made in your life that you think are just absolutely truth. There is, you think in your mind that these agreements that you have made are rock solid, but once you start working with the real guides, you may be actually surprised at, you know, when you put it in the perspective of the all is, all of reality, and the source of life, that, you know, it doesn't hold a candle. And when the neat thing about it is, once they show you, you see it for yourself. It's no longer somebody trying to explain something to you. You know, perhaps an example of that would be if you asked the real guides to take you to the causal plane and show you the Akashic records of a bunch of your past lives. Once you see your past lives, there's no doubt that it's you that experienced these past lives, and you'll wonder, well, wait a minute, I believe in Jesus. You know, I don't have past lives. Well, but the Akashic record says you do, you know, and you see it firsthand. You're not taking somebody else's word for it. You know, and then there's another thing I want to bring up, and I should have brought this up last time. You know, when you do make a lot of these agreements, when you get talked into something by somebody and you make an agreement, you should be very, very wary of the person that you're listening to. Do they have your best interest at hand? Well, I just realized about a week or two ago that the guy I became a born again Christian for a while, and believed that went through the Christian belief system for about somewhere around 25 or 30 years before I saw the error of my ways when I started reading Lobsang Rampa's books. But when I looked back on it, I was trying to figure out how in the world did I make that agreement to believe that Jesus was my Savior. And I looked back on it, and I realized that the person who talked me into it, I now know, is a reptilian, an outright reptilian, and one of the blue bloods from European royalty. I had no idea at the time that he was part of that. And so looking back on it, I think, man, what? Here's a reptilian trying to get me sucked into the system, and he did a wonderful job. I was like a big muskie, and I took it hook, line, and sinker, and I believed it. And then I started. And the problem is, once you make those agreements, you're tap lined, you're emotionally tap lined, which is an emotion agreement to stick with it. I mean, you'll die for your faith, and that's about where I was until about 25 or 30 years later. I saw through the scam, and my eyes were opened, and then I realized that, hey, this was a horrible agreement that I agreed to, and I got out of it. But that's another thing, you know, that these guys that go, you know, these missionaries, like the Mormon Church of Missionaries, they're like used car lot salespeople. You know, they're looking for live ones. And it's like the evangelist, like Billy Graham. You know, how many people know that Billy Graham, you know, I went to listen to him a couple times, and when I was into that philosophy, and I thought he was the best thing since homemade pie. It wasn't until the last few years that I found out that Billy Graham, along with his buddy Oral Roberts, used to get together and have little kids for dinner. They would shapeshift into the reptilian form, and they were pedivores, not pedophiles, pedivores, just like David Icke talks about in his books about the pedivores, and you wonder where all the children go. I mean, look at the source. You know, go on YouTube. You can see it for yourself. They actually have people talking about all that on YouTube. Check it out for yourself. Don't take my word for it. It's really, really, you know, nasty where you get your agreements from. So look at your source. And if you're a Christian today and you think what I'm saying is a bunch of nonsense, look at the source. Who was it that talked you into it in the first place? Or perhaps the other side of the coin is, you know, maybe you were raised in it. Well, when you're raised in a religion, you make the agreement of your family. I discussed that in our last show. You agree to everything that you're raised in without question. And so but the problem is, whether it's from family or some other source, once you make this agreement, you are tap-lined on your astral body and you become emotionally attached to it, and it's extremely difficult to break that attachment, even in the view of many, many facts to the contrary. Well, is there anyone else that wants to add any other stories or make any comments about agreements and assumptions they have seen or know about or want to share with people? Maybe it wasn't a personal experience, but maybe it's something that you saw somebody else make an agreement with. So please, for anyone, please step up and join us.
Yeah, Bob, as in a bigger view, I'm looking at how people have agreed to the systems of the world. And this is what most people just take for granted, that the world is supposed to be like this, or it just developed into the way it is, you know, through the all the, you know, evolution. But actually, if you really take a good look at it, all the systems, the medical, educational, political, religious, spiritual, economic, all these systems are based on agreements. And unfortunately, the agreements have been manipulated by the controllers who want to control the people and the masses and the public into certain lines. So it doesn't have to be this way. The point is, like, people just think, well, this is the way life is. This is the way, you know, we participated in it. That's another thing, that we, you know, we vote. So we elected these politicians. We as a whole, we developed the life we have here. But in essence, there's a nefarious movement behind the scenes that, no, it's not like that at all. The public has no actually input at all. You think your vote matters at all? It's just ridiculous that a person would even consider that their vote would mean anything, the way the politics is set up right now. So taking nothing for granted might be a better position for a person belonging or agreeing to no system would maybe be a better position for somebody, because they'd have a better view or more objective view of what is actually taking place in the world. So it's where they've made it so easy for people to be dumbed down. I mean, they actually make it easy for you to be stupid here. And that's what their game is, their psychological game, to make it so easy that people are comfortable and safe, secure, you know, but then they add the stress factor to it too. So people are agitated at the same time, and they make this reality for people that it's so easy to agree to, and then they're trapped. Like you say, that they're tap-lined, they're trapped into this zone of going nowhere. And the point is, again, it's like it's everything here that people see. It's the whole, all the systems are like that. There's no relief. So the only way out, the only cure, is through the new presentation and becoming more aware. And that makes sense to me. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Val. And you, that's what these things that you take for granted, those are the subconscious agreements, and they're so insidious. And I was just thinking of one I saw last week. I was listening to Coast to Coast, and they had this high-level minister, Christian minister on, and his specialty was casting out demons, okay? Well, as we all know from the real side, that a lot of these demons that possess people are sent there by the Kalam God himself, the God of the third heaven, is in charge of these demons and tells them has control over these demons that go into somebody's body and acts up. And so here you have a Christian minister whose God is the Kalam God, and it's the same Kalam God that directs the demons that possess people. And the insidious part of this is the minister would go in to somebody's house and they would cast out the demon, and the demon would run off into wherever they went, and the guy would get down on his hands and knees and thank God for being so faithful and working with him and being such a wonderful, loving God that he would cast the demons out of these people to make them whole again, when it's the same God running both sides of the coin. It's, you know, and these ministers that cast out the demons have no clue that the God they're worshiping is the same God that sent the demon. And so, of course, their God, the Christian God, is going to cast out the demons because they want you to believe in them. But little do they know that, as I said, both sides of the coin are run by the same operation. And it's the three-headed God from, he's known as Kaldaranjan or the Kal. And the influence, the third head of the God is actually the Holy Spirit of the Bible. That's the Bible calls him the Holy Spirit because when the Kalam God had the Bible written, he wanted the Holy Spirit to be a very big part of the Bible. And, of course, the Holy Spirit is the third head, the influence of the Kalam God. So it comes round circle, but if you're in the middle of all this, it's a insidious trap that traps you in. And every time, you know, it's like, you know, the Kalam God gets you in a war zone, gets you in a foxhole, and you're dodging bullets, and you're about ready to be overrun and killed by the enemy, and you pray to God, and all of a sudden the bad guys go away and you live, and you think, oh, thank God. Thank God, I've been saved by God, so I'm going to give everything that I have to the church and thank you, you know, for saving my life. Well, the little part those little soldier boy doesn't realize is it was the Kalam God that caused him to be in the foxhole in the first place. It's so insidious, these subconscious agreements that we make. Well, anybody else like to add anything?
Yes, this is Claudia in Texas.
Claudia, go ahead, please.
Thank you. A friend sent me a text recently on my phone about the continents of Lemuria and Atlantis. And some people believe they exist and some people don't. It just depends on your viewpoint. One of the things that this person said, well, what's your viewpoint on it? And I said, I remember having dreams about living in Atlantis. And before I start the story, I just want to say, if anybody watches sci-fi television, there is a TV series called Stargate SG-1. And there are many versions of that particular television story. Some of it has to do with setting in Atlantis. And what is interesting about the story is that the premise of the Atlantis is that Atlantis exists on Earth. And I personally believe it did. But in the story, over the plot over the last several years, the audience has been informed that this Atlantis, quote-unquote, exists on another star system. So they reach it by going through a stargate. And one of the things when I first had my first dream about living in Atlantis was, well, how can I be this person living in Atlantis and having experiences when this is not what the way it says it is in history? Because it was way different. And so finally I got my answer. There's more than one Atlantis. There is an Atlantis on every star system. There's a Lemuria on every star system. There are bad reptilians in every star system. There are good reptilians in every star system. It's just a simple story that is repeated over and over again for living creatures to experience life and learn about the all is. And you go, well, how can that be? How can that be? I don't understand. It's easy to find the answer. All you have to do is sing new you, and ask at night before you go to bed, or ask in the morning when you get up. I'd like to know the answer to this question. One thing for sure is that you get the answer immediately, but we may not recognize it. It's like if in the olden days, if you showed somebody a peanut sheller or a corn cob stripper or something like that, or you go to a mechanic shop and you see various types of tools, wrenches and hammers and screwdrivers and so on and so forth. If you'd never seen one before, you would not recognize it as, oh, this is a hammer. You would just see an object. So if we live many lifetimes over and over again, we gather information, but it is only brought back up to us as we allow it to happen in our lives by asking for it. It's a simple question. Ask what happens in one of my lifetimes. Why? What does it have to do with today? So, yes, there are many, many opportunities to see different things of your life by just simply asking and sing new you, as demonstrated by Sandy. It's simple. It's easy. Doesn't cost you anything. 15 minutes of your time, and you can see another side of life. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Claudia. That was wonderful. That was very interesting. You know, I love that show, Stargate. Was it Robert Anderson, I think it was? Anyway, one thing that show brought out that I thought was really interesting is there was one group of aliens that you could tell they were aliens because their eyes would get real bright, kind of lighten up real white. Occasionally, and that was kind of like you could tell if you were paying attention, you could tell that they were aliens because their eyes would like they'd open up their eyes really wide, and you see that a lot today. I think they were trying to tell us something. When you're watching different people like newscasters or politicians, they'll be talking, and all of a sudden they open up their eyes like their eyes real wide, like as wide as they will go. For just a moment, and their eyebrows go up, and then they return back to normal again. And that a lot of those we have identified as being reptilian or having very high levels of blue blood reptilian blood, and some of them are actually shape shifting reptilians. And that was one way you could identify it, as brought out on the Stargate show. Well, anyway, is there anybody else that would like to add a last-minute idea, share assumptions or agreements they've seen and really wonder about, or maybe something that simply just does not make sense why people agree to it? So please go ahead if you got any last-minute thoughts on it.
Hi, this is Tim again. In Oregon. I was just thinking about what Sandy wrote about what Duane, the great writer, had in one of his New Adventures series books about this idea of death and the idea that we can decide to stay around in a 20-year-old body if we want. It, with no example that I know of in life, it's just hard to imagine how we can decide to stay in a 20-year-old body.
Well, if you look at the real guys like Rebazar, what is he going on, 500, 600 years now? And then you have the other ones. Tandy knows them. Like,
well, there's Gopal Das, there's Laetzi, and Yabel Sakabi. Well, Yabel Sakabi's age goes thousands of years back. I'm not sure how old Gopal Das is, but he was lived during the time in the physical, during the time of Egypt, so he's quite old, too.
I know of one guy that doesn't have anything to do with the real guys, but this guy heard of a modern drug that costs like $100,000, and this guy was telling us about it on Coast to Coast probably 5 years ago, 5 years ago or more, and he discovered that by taking this drug, you could agree to reduce your age. So he gave it to his 85-year-old mother, and his 85-year-old mother started reducing her age, and she kept getting younger and younger and younger until she stopped at 35 years old, and now she's out every day playing tennis on the tennis courts, beating up on the 20-year-olds in tennis. And by now, she should be, her physical age should be 90, but her physical age is 35. And so she made the agreement to get younger, and it really worked for her. But the thing with the real guides, you know, we have so many real guides. The ones like Rebazar, he's relatively young, 500 or 600 years old, and he looks about what?
35.
How much?
35.
Yeah, he looks about 35. And the other ones that are somewhere around 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 years old, actually there would be a lot more real guides. You know, probably 5 or 10,000 years old, but as people like us come and take over the mission and become real guides ourselves, these older real guides that never died, you know, that maybe are 5,000 years old or whatever, have chosen to do other missions in the real universes. So they just moved on, and that's why we don't see a bunch of 100,000 or a million year old people that have never died, because they just moved on. But no, it's the real deal. It absolutely is. So, Tim, thank you very much for sharing that. But it's real. It is absolutely, definitely real. Did you want to add anything more, Tim?
Well, it's one thing for us to be thinking that just by deciding to be 20-some years old, that we're going to be 20-some years old. That's what I'm trying to get at here, is the awareness of how we decide. Like Tomo Gishig or something, it sounds like he's still in his physical body and that the elements of Earth don't affect him. It is all fascinating until a person has real experiences to even wonder about how.
Well, you know, it's my comeback for you is, if we spend, let's say, 100,000 lifetimes or maybe even a million lifetimes knowing that we're going to die when we're 30 or 50 or 80 years old, It's a tough chore to make the switch in one lifetime. You have all that old self stuff stuck in your psyche that makes it very difficult to undo those thousands and thousands of lifetimes of thinking that you're going to die. So that's why I say, let's call on the real guides, because the real guides can show you how to do it. the real guides, they can help you reduce your age and step right out into the real universes. So we've forgotten how to do that. We have all these attachments that we've attached to that are still part of our other bodies. It's not just our physical body. We have our astral, causal body, mental body, our etheric, subconscious bodies. These are all affecting our physical. And so we have to get them all straightened out before we can make the switch. And that's where the real guides can help us do that. But it's very possible. But you're right. Just on the surface, it seems like a insurmountable task to change your age overnight just by wishing it. No, there's more to it than that. You have to clean up your body, and then you can move forward. And right now, only the real guides have the ability to show us how to clean up our personal selves and face ourselves and realize what we have done to cause us to think that we have to age as we do. So I hope that helps a little bit. Well,
yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
Thanks.
Well, thank you, Tim. That's a great question you brought up. All right, got time for maybe one last question, then we're going to have to close it up for today. All right, going once, twice. All right, closing comments. All right, I need to say the times are changing rapidly. Whereas before, all you needed was real guidance to see the all is and move on into the higher universes. But because of the short time that we have left on planet Earth, the game has recently changed. You now not only have to see the all is, you have to actively participate in helping others to see also. You must step up. And that's it for the show today, everyone. I think everybody on board could do New You by themselves if you would like to join in. Tim, would you like to do a New You for us?
Yeah. New You.
Buddy?
You.
Val?
New you.
Okay, and Sandy and I will finish up. New you. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. You are wonderful, and we will see you in our next show, and I think we have one scheduled for next week. So thank you so much for joining us. Bye now.
Thanks, Bob and Sandy. Wonderful.
Yeah, thanks. See you,
everybody.
Thank you.